sure you are too. You don't have to listen to me today. My son Joshua, he is the youth pastor at First Baptist Verdigris, and he's going to come this morning and share with us what God has laid upon his heart. And he's, if you haven't seen his wife Kayla and their little baby Noah, our newest addition to our family back here as well, so she may be cheering on Dad as he hears a voice. And I've got a couple other guests I might mention in the back row back there. The big ugly guy on the side, that's my brother David, he's a fire chief in Sepulpa, and so if you may have seen him on television, something, I don't know. Whenever they need somebody ugly, they'll pull him. I've got to get my licks in. He's picked on me all my life, so it's my turn. And the little bitty guy is my dad there, and so that's Jack Taylor. You see, David's wife has left him somewhere. She's gone. But anyhow, Cassie's there, and the girls, we're glad to have them with us today. Josh, come share with us what the Lord's given you this morning.
Oh, there you go. You got to hold it down. You got to be smarter than the machine. Yeah. Well, there is nothing like being at a church that you have known, the church family, and they've known you, and you've been part of it for many, many years. Kayla and I, as Dad said, we're at First Baptist Verdigris now, and we've been there for about 5 months, and we're still growing there, still getting to know people, and still kind of establishing roots. And it's just such a relief. It's relaxing to be here. I mean, you get all kinds of advantages, especially if your family goes to church with you. As for childcare, they've got a nursery, but there's my sister holding my baby, so my wife and daughter can be here at the same time, and it's great. But if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. It's right in the beginning. It's right past the table of contents. We're going to look at what creation says about Yahweh. Now, ultimately, every act of creation leads to the question, what does this creation say about God? Now, the theme of Genesis is not only God's personality of blessing what is loyal to Him and the consequences that defiance brings on what listen to His word, whether by natural courses or His hand. This whole book is a creation account made up of three components that aren't and shouldn't be divided: the creation of the universe, the creation of Israel, and what their creation says about God. What Genesis reports happened, but it chooses to report how in a theological way rather than a scientific one, because it's designed to report knowledge about God and not knowledge about creation. The very first verse, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." We see that it's Yahweh who created the universe. So here we have a summary. God created everything. And what's striking here is that God is introduced as the one who existed before our universe. The Hebrew uses the word bara to describe creating, meaning something new, fresh, and perfect. It uses the expression heavens and the earth, but that's not to say two separate realms. This is a pagan or a Greek, Greco-Roman, Canaanite way of thinking. This is a form of Hebrew poetic expression. It means to say all that is, like saying day and night to mean all the time, or man and beast to say all physical things. Verse 2 says, "Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered over the surface of the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." So we see part of God's character is He makes order from chaos. This verse makes it clear that something is very wrong in the beginning. Two clauses show circumstances as chaotic: waste and void, and formless and emptiness. It sounds like tovu vavohu, the Hebrew expression that's used elsewhere, but only to describe a place that God has judged. In Jeremiah 4:23, it says the land was an empty wasteland. And in Isaiah 34:11, it talks about a total destruction over Israel. But Isaiah 45:18 states that God didn't create the world to be a waste. The key idea is that it must be shaped by God to be good and to be finished. when it says that there's darkness over the deep, darkness and light are going to be common themes over all of Scripture. Darkness is always symbolic of evil, but light is symbolic of Yahweh, the kingdom of God, and of holiness. And darkness is never shown to be conducive to life. So it's interesting that the very first act of creation, God's inaugural act, is to dispel darkness. God walks on the scene just like in our lives, instantly begins by dispelling darkness. And it says that the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. This dark, chaotic deep is now life-giving water. It's not an abyss of chaos anymore. And the expression for hovering is also used in Deuteronomy 32:11. And it describes Yahweh as being like an eagle fluttering over the nest of its young. And in the same way, the unformed, watery earth is now under the care of the divine Spirit who chose to personally hover over it, ensuring its development, just like he does with our lives. But notice, in the first 3 days, God makes order and form. Look at verse 3. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and he called the darkness night, and evening and morning came, the first day. Now notice, the means of creation that God uses is his word, the word of God. The pattern, "and he said," sets the tone for the emphasis for this chapter and for the rest of Scripture. There's a musical pattern even for the listener to learn and remember if they were part of the original Hebrew audience. In the ancient Hebrew language, "let there be" is pronounced vihai. Also in the Hebrew, "and it was" is pronounced vahe. And it sounds like Yahweh, God's personal name, "I am." So the rhyme is Yahe, Vihai, Vahe. And what it means is, "I am says, let there be, and it is so." And that's the way it is with God. So it was perfect for John, in the Gospel of John, to call Jesus the Word of God, as if to say that Jesus is Yahweh's very word, the highest authority. Jesus is Yahweh's own voice. And notice the light. God changed a world enveloped in darkness, just like he does with our lives. It's natural light. It's symbolizing a change in the realm. Light and dark begin the concept of symbolizing exclusive, separate realms. You are either of one or of the other. To reinforce this, day and night have separate spheres, Yom and Layla. Light was good, but not the darkness. And Yahweh uses the light to represent his kingdom. And later, God would order them to keep lamps burning in the holy place to represent his presence, that light. Now let's focus on God naming things. He calls it day, he calls it night. Naming things carried an implication of authority in the ancient world. What gives parents the right to name their baby? Kayla and I, we had a daughter and we named her Noah. But what gave us the authority to do that? Well, it was our daughter. And in the same way with God, it's creation authority. Later, God would entrust his dominion over the earth to Adam by letting him name all the living creatures. And a day here is not an age or anything else. Otherwise, would we say that night is an age too? Yahweh has Genesis present the creation in 6 days to use creation in making points about himself and not to make points about his creation like most of us want to do today. Look at verse 6. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters, separating water from water." So God made the expanse, and he separated the water under the expanse from the water above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse sky. Evening came, and then morning, the second day. So now we see a division between the cloud masses above and the waters below. And notice, this isn't called good, because God's work isn't completed yet. Pagans believe that the heavens, or in Hebrew, the Shemayim, are the place where the gods lived. And today, some look to the sky for an intelligent life to guide them. But Yahweh says that he created, names, rearranges, and controls the heavens at will. And Israel and us should look to Yahweh, and we should have confidence in Yahweh, and with the divisions and the distinctions that He has made, both in creation and in our lives through His Word. Verse 9. And then God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and He called the gathering of the water seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the water produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit with seed according to their kinds." And it was so. And the earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And evening and morning came the third day. So we see God created the sea, the dry land, and He sovereignly blessed the earth. And there's an emphasis, and it now begins to shift from bringing order to now bringing fullness. Creation that had ordered itself according to God's word was now experiencing its maximum potential. It's now experiencing blessing because of that. And God continues to bring order by gathering the waters into reservoirs He calls seas. In the Hebrew, that's yamim. And when this was written, the Canaanites around the Israelites worshipped what they called Prince Yam, is an ocean god. And they believe He controlled part of their lives. And the religions of the people around Israel, they believe that the gods fought each other, and this caused all of the seasons and the harvest and the food to grow. But Yahweh tells us here that there is no god called the sea, only the seas that God controls. And we see from vegetation in the text, creation following God's direction is fruitful. And in the same way, you will be fruitful by following the word of God and by following Yahweh's direction. And in the second 3 days, Yahweh creates a healthy context for creation. So look at verse 14. And then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and they'll serve as signs for festivals and for days and years. And there'll be lights in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to have dominion over the day, and the lesser to have dominion over the night, as well as the stars. And God placed them in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth, to dominate the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Evening came, and then morning, the fourth day. So God creates the luminaries in the heavens in order to govern the flow of time. For those who are troubled by the idea that God created light before making the sun and the moon and the stars, it is possible, grammatically in the Hebrew language, to translate this as saying appeared for the first time rather than saying they began to exist. But Yahweh Himself is the truest form of light. We see that in Revelation. So the heavens, and notice that their purpose is said to be marking time. Some criticize that time couldn't have passed without them. And how could there be a day and a night without the sun and the moon? But let me ask you this. Would time continue to pass if we decided to destroy all clocks? They are signs for creation, and Yahweh does not need them. And more about pagan than gods. When this was written to the Israelites, they had just come out of Egypt. And the Egyptians, their highest god was Ra, the sun god. And the Babylonians looked to astrology to guide their lives, the stars. But Yahweh says, "I guide the stars. Let me guide you by my words and not your stars." Verse 20. And then God said, "Let the water swarm with living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the large sea creatures and every living creature that moves and swarms in the water according to their kinds. He also created every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So God blessed them. "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters with the seas, of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." Evening came, and then morning, the fifth day. God created animal life for the sea and the sky and blessed them to populate. And notice, vegetation is not mentioned here. In the Hebrew mind, plant and animal life is not the same as life. See also the categories like great sea creatures. God wants Israel and the whole world to know that everything that we could fear or worship was made by Him and under His power. And then God said, let the earth produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that crawl, and the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. So God made the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and the creatures that crawl on the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They'll rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, and all the earth, and all the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in His own image. He created him in the image of God. And He created them male and female. And God blessed them. And He said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. God also said, look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth, and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This will be food for you. And all the wildlife of the earth, and every bird of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the ground, everything having the breath of life in it. I have given every green plant to you for food. And it was so. And God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And evening came, and morning the sixth day. So we see Yahweh created human life to rule over and take care of the animals and the earth. And Yahweh had blessed the earth under their care. In the sixth day, it shows us the culmination of creation. After bringing order and fullness to creation, Yahweh created human life to enjoy and to rule the now inhabitable world. So first God makes animals, and then He sets boundaries. This is a principle that God wants us to understand about Himself and how He operates. God creates and sets the context for His creation. The crowning point of creation is human life. Man was made by the divine plan, let us make man, by the divine pattern, in our image, and by the divine purpose, let him have dominion or authority. And what is the image of God? In the ancient world, we talk about Babylon, Egypt, anything that the Canaanites, the Israelites would have experienced. The kings of the earth would make great statues of themselves and put them on display all over their empire so that everyone would know who ruled. The Jewish people did not use symbols. They didn't use the Star of David then. They didn't use crosses. You, as a follower of Yahweh, were the symbol and the image bearer of your king. You represented His authority. You represented someone who lived by His word, and you represented His rule. You were the image of God by following and being obedient to His word. Excuse me. And I want to tack on a theory to that, to further interpret it. We reflect the image of God in all the ways we choose to reflect the image of God. When we love our neighbor, we are being obedient to the word of God. We're being like Christ, and guess what? We're bearing His image more fully. When we keep the commandments, we reflect the image of the God who made them. We bear His image more fully. When we imitate Christ, we are called to be a reflection of Yahweh's image. And in so doing, we, to a greater degree, bear the image of the God that we were created to honor. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. So the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. By the seventh day, God completed the work that He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all his work that He had done. And God blessed the seventh day, and He declared it holy. For on it He rested from His work of creation. Now, the term rest, Shabbat in the Hebrew, it means to stop or to cease. And this does not mean that God had to recover from hard work or from His labor. Yahweh stopped to enjoy what He had accomplished, as we see in the text. Sabbath was more than just a day to relax. Sabbath was a day that belonged to Yahweh to honor Him with. Now, some implications from all of this. Yahweh, by His very nature, likes to transform chaos into something that is holy and something that is blessed. And in the same way, out of a dark and chaotic pagan world, God brought Israel into existence to be His people. Yahweh gave them context, truth, blessing them, and making them represent His image, and He promised them to have relief or rest in this world. And in the same way, God takes people like you and like me, and He wants to take all of mankind out of chaos, give us context, give us truth, have us reflect His image, and He promises to give us rest. And God changes darkness into night, death into life, and chaos into blessing. Yahweh has absolute power over all life and opposing pagan ideas that will compete for our allegiance. And God works by His powerful word to create, to redeem, and to make holy. And only by obedience to His word, either written or living as Jesus, will transform believers into His image. Let's pray. Father God, thank You so much for everything that You've done for us. Thank You for giving us Your word. Thank You for giving us the opportunity to discover Your wisdom and to order our lives by it. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know You and that has never surrendered their lives to You, that You would be their King and that they would be Your people, that You would help them to see, realize the wisdom in it and the blessing that can come from it and the state of chaos that they currently live in and how it can be transformed. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Start. Janessa, our musicians come.